All right, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. It reads this: "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. Thank you for the calling through it. And Lord, as we look at what's going on here with Peter and Andrew, help us to be just that, fishers of men. Help us to be active in evangelism. Help us to go into the world and preach the gospel. And God, we ask you for the increase. And we pray for Pastor Meter and Dan as they're down there ministering in Peru. Ask God that you would protect them, protect the kids. I know they were coming in from all over the country and many, many hours on the buses and all like that. And we just ask your protection to be upon them. Lord, change them. Help them to be different kids as they ride home. Help them to have a real zeal for living for you. And bless those that are down there working in the ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever had the opportunity of a lifetime? I look back on my life, and I've had some tremendous opportunities in my life. I think the first one in my life was when I was a young man. We had just gotten married, and I started a new job back then. And, man, it was so long ago. But we started a new job, and through that job, it was at a factory, and they made, what did they make? Nuclear power assemblies for submarines and aircraft carriers. And they gave me an opportunity to learn a trade. I started out in ship and receive and unloading trucks, and I ended up being a CDL truck driver, and of all things, I was hauling uranium. And very interesting. Then I moved out of there when I figured out that stuff wasn't good for my health. And I moved into the maintenance end of the business. But through it, it pretty much provided for my family. It changed their lives. And it set me up with a career that lasted my whole life. I used the things that I learned there and I used them to go through my life and help me get by as far as making a living and whatnot like that. And as we think about this, we as believers should follow the Savior's high call, especially designed for each one of us. Each one of us has a very particular call that God would give us. Some of us are evangelists. Some of us are singers. Some of us are pianists. Some of us are just helpers. I'll tell you, thank God for the helpers. Thank God for the unspoken heroes that hide behind the scenes and don't look for any credit. They're just serving the Lord. And I guess that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is serving the Lord. You know, the most important thing is that we need to realize that we are created for God's glory. And everything that we do, we should do with the mind that we want to bring glory and honor to our Savior. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, you don't have to turn there. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Secondly, God created us to glorify him. In 1 Corinthians 10:51. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Beyond this, God calls each one of us individually to serve him. Now, again, each one of our services are going to be different because we all have different talents. Will, I look out, I see Will. I know he was an ace carpenter, something I couldn't do. He would probably call me a hacker when it came to carpentry. But he was an ace carpenter, Jack as well, and some of the other guys, Brother June, he's a scientist. I'm no scientist. I was a wrench. I turned wrenches and fixed stuff. But he calls each one of us to a very specific a job to do. And as we step up and do it, guess what happens? He blesses us. And he not only blesses us, but he goes through us. He uses us as a vessel to bless other people. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. In verse number 19 here, let's see. It says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will show you, and I will make you fishers of men." So the thing we're looking at here is the calling. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." No Christian should sit by and do nothing. We as Christians should be active in our Christianity. We should be trying to minister to other people's needs. We should be trying to reach the lost. We should be trying to be a blessing to those that have no blessings in life. We should try to be hope where there is no hope. We should try to be to bring joy to people that have no joy. You know, we look around and see the world, and the world doesn't have what we have because we're a blessed people. If we just got saved and that was it, we go to heaven, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? It's going to be wonderful. But the deal is that God has had us to stay here so that we can occupy, so that we can be busy, so that we can do things for him. And I thank God so much for that. First of all, God calls us to love. Each one of us should love others. If you love somebody, you'll share the gospel with them. They may not appreciate it, but that's something that you'll do because of the love that Christ has put in your heart. We had talked about that in Sunday school this morning, that Christ loved us so, and he wants us to love other people as he has loved us. So we first need to love. Second thing we need to do is we need to give. You may say, well, I give my tithe and I give an offering. Well, he's not only talking about that. He's talking about give of yourself. You know, if you if we sat down and we started discussing tithing, most of us would maybe cringe a little. I don't want to give any more money. But don't worry about it. God will take care of it. He owns the cattle on what? Thousand Hills. He can fill your wallet up, and it's up to us to empty it out. But I don't want to talk about that kind of tithing. I want to talk about tithing of your time. We have 24 hours in a day, correct? Right? 2.4 hours would be a tithe, wouldn't it? Do you spend 2.4 hours a day with God, reading your Bible, in prayer, ministering to others' needs, being a blessing to somebody? We should be tithing of our time and of our energy and of our abilities to do things. And I think that a lot of times Christians don't do that. And I find myself guilty of that at times, and I have to keep a check on myself because, to be honest with you, I'm quite lazy. And I fool everybody because I'm always busy doing something. But in my heart, I'm a lazy person. Ask my wife. I didn't do anything this afternoon. I chilled. I took it easy. And yes, I had a nap. and I enjoyed it too, I got to tell you. But, you know, we need to be busy for Jesus. You notice when Jesus came to Peter and Andrew, they weren't out lounging, getting sun on the dock and taking it easy. They were mending their nets. They were getting ready to go fishing. They fish all night. They mend their nets. They sleep, and then they're back at it. He went to somebody that was busy. And God wants us to be busy for him. And we talked about that this morning, that, listen, time's running out. Pretty soon there'll be no more time for work. Now's the time to work. So get busy for God. It's going to be worth it in the long run. Next thing we want to look at is number three here. So number one is love. Number two is to give. And number three is to be a witness. What's a witness? A witness is something that testifies of something else. If I was a witness in a crime, when it came time to go to court, they would call on me and they would use me as a witness to testify against the criminal. In the case of being a Christian, We need to testify to our Savior. Oh, man, I'll tell you. Mark this down. Nobody can ever take away your testimony. What has God done? If I went up and down the aisles here and asked, you know, what has God done for you? What has God done for you? We would be here till morning. God has done so much for us. And I know he expects us to do so much for him. And sometimes we're slacking. So we need to be a witness. In John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, what is the voice of Jesus saying? He said, go ye into all the world and do what? Roger, what did he say?
Preach the gospel.
He wants us to go preach the gospel. Now, where in the whole world? Everywhere you go. When you go to the grocery store, do you preach the gospel? When you go shopping, do you preach the gospel? I love going places with Bruce Collette. He is a trip. He has got a pocket full of tracks, and everywhere he goes, he's like Johnny Appleseed, but instead of apple seeds, he's dropping tracks. He loves to go to Walmart, and he goes to the beer department, and he slides them into 12 packs of beer. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, Bruce, you're going to get in trouble for that. No, I haven't yet. I've been doing it for years. He drops tracks everywhere he goes. Nano, I see you back there. Can't hide from me. Nano's the same way. Everywhere he goes, he's preaching the gospel. And that's something that we need to do as Christians, is to preach the gospel everywhere we go. Can you preach the gospel at work? Absolutely. I was talking with a guy today on the phone, and he was telling me about a job that he had. And he was the only Christian on the job. And he had an impeccable testimony with him. He would get in early, and he would start working a half hour early. And he would start working, start prepping his area and doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he would work hard. And as a business owner, as some of you that have your own businesses here, that's the kind of guy I want working for me. He's chop, chop, no nonsense. He's on the job getting going. And I think that's what God wants with us. He wants us to get going for him and start doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we can do it anywhere. You can be a testimony for God and not even know it. Somebody knows you're a Christian, mark it down. They're going to look at you and watch you because they want to see how you react to some situations. They may push some buttons to see what kind of response they get from you. And by the way, they know exactly how we are supposed to act. You're a Christian and you do that, right? Have you ever heard that? I've heard it. I'm thinking, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Then have you ever had to go to somebody and apologize for being a bad testimony? I have. It is the most humbling thing in the world. But I'll tell you what, it shows them what kind of character we have as Christians. We need to be above reproach. Amen. They're not going to listen to you if you sound like the world, if you do things of the world, and you don't act like a Christian. It's just not going to work. You can't say this and do that. It doesn't work. So, our purpose, like Peter's, is to be called people to the Savior. In John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And then turn over to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to jump back to the end of the chapter here. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20. All the way to the end. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So Christ wants us to be faithful to what he has called us to do. You know, it says in the book of James that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I could probably go up and down the aisles again and ask each one of you, what are we supposed to do in this situation? What are we supposed to do in that situation? And you probably have the right answers. But we don't need to know them. We don't need to know the right answers. We need to be doing the right answers. We need to be busy for God. Following Christ requires faith. Have you ever been in a situation and you think, how am I going to do this, Lord? I can't talk to that person. They're too smart. I can't talk to that person. They're too mean. I can't talk to that person. They don't like me. We run into all kinds of situations, but you have to have enough faith to just step out and say, all right, Lord, here we go. Roger doesn't know this, but one of the most difficult things for me to do is to work at the fair. I am totally out of my comfort zone. I am uncomfortable, but I go. And I have to ask God, help me, because I don't want to talk to some of these people. Some of these people intimidate me. Imagine that. I get intimidated. But I do. And I have to ask God for strength. And then I have to ask him for wisdom, because I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack. And I have to ask God, help me to say the right things. Help me not to be offensive. Help me to show them Jesus Christ. And, you know, as you think about this, it took faith for Moses to forsake Pharaoh's palace. I mean, that was a step of faith. Here Moses is living in Pharaoh's palace as one of his children, and it took faith for him to step out and to tell them that he was Hebrew, and to just forsake the good life, you would say. It took faith for Gideon to take on the Midianite army. There were 300 men carrying trumpets and lamps. And it took faith, and that was of God. It takes faith for us sometimes to step out and ask God to help us when he gives us a situation to do. I remember one time somebody in church here asked me to go visit somebody in their family that had cancer. And I didn't know this person. I've never met him. And I asked God, I said, God, how am I going to do that? How do I go talk to that person? And I honestly didn't know what to do. I've never met the man before. And I said, Lord, I'm going to go, but I don't know what to say or what to do. I went, and he lived upstairs in an apartment. I went up there and knocked on the door. And I said, hi, I'm here, and I'm a friend of so-and-so, and I'm here because you're sick. And he said, yes, I am. Come on in and sit down. And I'll tell you, we had a wonderful time. Ends up that he was saved. My friend that sent me to him, he didn't know that. And after we had got done talking and everything, and I kind of checked him out, and as far as I could tell, he was a saved man. We prayed. I asked God to comfort him, to heal him if he could be healed, and this, that, and everything else. And I went back, and I reported to my friend. I said, praise the Lord. Man, he says he's a Christian. But it takes faith sometimes. You know, there's a sense of being a little bit scared, you know, not knowing what to say or what to do. And I was in that situation at that time. It took faith for Daniel to reject the king's law. Remember, the king said, you can't pray? Daniel, what did he do? Right in the front window, started praying. It took faith for Joseph to believe God concerning Mary. How can a woman have a child when she's never been with a man? It took faith for him to take Mary as a wife. How would you feel if you were engaged to a woman and all of a sudden she's pregnant and you know you're not the dad? It took faith for that. It takes faith for us to step out and trust God. How's your faith doing tonight? Are you trusting in God? He'll make a way. We talked about that this morning. God will make a way. It took faith for Paul to forsake his plans and to follow God on three different missionary journeys. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. The good news is that faith replaces fear. When I put my faith in God, when you put your faith in God, fear will vanish. It may still be hiding in the back room somewhere, but we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be afraid because we know that God will work things out. In Matthew 16, 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we need to follow Jesus Christ. When? All the time. How do you know what he's going to have you to say? You just have to trust him. You have to have faith in him. You have to be walking with him. You have to be able to understand how the Spirit of God works in your life so that you can follow him. In Mark 4 and 40, it says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And I think of that myself. Why am I so fearful sometimes? I remember the first time I went in prison. I probably told many of this story, but man, I was scared to death. I went into prison. I was green as green could be. I don't know if you were with me, Jack. I think Larry Hunt was with me. He was the music guy, and maybe you or David. And we're in the gymnasium, and all of these guys come in, and I'm like, wow. It was like 150 people. And they all got together. The Crips got over here, and the Bloods got over here, and they're arguing and carrying on, and whew, it was ugly. I didn't know what to do, and I said, God, you got to help me. And God had somebody to stand up right in the front row, and he yelled out at the top of his lungs to shut up, that he had come in there to praise the Lord. I was so happy to see that guy, I got to tell you. But God took care of it, you know. And all those years that a crew from this church ministered in the prison system, and never once was any of us ever hurt. There was never a problem. I mean, there were little skirmishes here and there, but by the grace of God, God took care of them. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We need not be afraid. When we go out street preaching, when we go to different cities where churches are being established, don't be afraid. We're going in the power of God, the resurrection power. What better way to travel, right? We went to Boston, almost a month ago now, and I mean, we were right down in the nitty-gritty. We're right in the city, right, Marianne? And man, there was buses and trains, and I'm like, man, where are the trees? Where's the fields? It was all city. And there's people going all over the place, and there's mean-looking people, there's happy-looking people, there's drugged-up people, there's people everywhere. And we just went by faith and said, all right, God, who do we talk to? What do we say? What do we do? And God, through it all, he kept us all safe. People got saved. I was encouraged. Pastor Meter was encouraged. The two is Ed and Sam. Ed and Sam, they were encouraged. So we weren't there only to win souls. We were there for the encouragement of the brethren. We had a great time. I had a great time. I can't wait to do it again. It was a blast. In Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So as we think about these things, I want to leave you with this, is that we just need to trust God. That's where it all comes back to. Just trust God. He'll not give you anything that you can't do. And when you think you can't do it, trust him, and he'll give you the right words to say and the right things to do. I remember up in Boston, we were dealing with I call him a wackadoodle. This guy was definitely not right. Remember him, Marianne? He was on the corner. He came. Oh, no, Michelle was with me. This guy came by and he was cussing to beat the band. And I looked at him and I was like, this guy's a loose cannon. And then he went by me and the Lord broke my heart for him. And I'm like, where did he go? I was looking for him. I couldn't find him. So Michelle and I went up the street up on the hill and we turned around. We started coming back down the hill. And I said to Michelle, there he is. She's like, I'll stay here and pray. Okay, that works for me. And I spent almost 20 minutes with him. And I got to witness to him and testify of why I was there and the power that I had. And then he started going off in Never Never Land somewhere. And I left him with this. You need to come to Christ. You need to be saved. You need to ask Christ in your heart and get rid of all this other nonsense. And he didn't get saved that day, but I don't know, you know. God put him on my heart. God brought him right around back to being right in front of me. So, way of conclusion, Peter listened to Jesus. Peter was determined to separate himself from anything that would set him back. Peter was willing to walk by faith. Remember who Peter was. Peter was a fisherman. But he was not just a fisherman. He owned a fishing business. He had multiple boats. He probably made a lot of money fishing. And he left it all to go serve the Lord. Just as Christ called Peter, he calls each one of us, first, to follow him, secondly, to be a disciple of Christ, and thirdly, to live by faith with a priority on eternal things. How you doing on that? Are you living by faith? Are you looking at things eternally and not just for right now? Jesus wants to use each one of us in a great way, and he wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be fishers of men. So hopefully this week you can go out and preach the gospel. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the great commission that you've given us. What an honor it is to represent Jesus Christ here on earth. Help us, God, as we go about our lives to do just that. Help us to bring honor and glory to him. We ask, God, that you would help us to get rid of our fears. Each one of us has different fears and insecurities that we fall on. And God, we know that you're greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And Lord, you want to use each one of us to bring honor and glory to yourself. And we commit this service to you and ask, God, that you would help us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.